came out of the woodwork, and it was a really positive experience, and I'm excited to get back and play Haynes again for sure.
A Haynes stop for one musician on tour is on track to be a sold-out show, and two Senate seats are in the latest Southeast Alaska redistricting map. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. A new plan for Southeast election districts gives the region two Senate seats of its own. That's something many leaders asked for. But the House district matchups go against some community requests. For example, Petersburg would share a district with downtown Juneau, and Skagway is combined with northern neighborhoods in the capital city. Also, Prince of Wales Island is split between two House districts. The Alaska Redistricting Board adopted the Southeast plan on Saturday. Staff says it's not final until statewide reapportionment is completed. The board continued meeting Wednesday. Director Taylor Bickford and board members were not available for immediate comment. Here's how the latest plan would divide up Southeast. House District 1 would include Ketchikan, Saxman, Wrangell, Kaufman Cove, Hollis, Thorn Bay, and other northern Prince of Wales towns. House District 2 would have Sitka, Haynes, Klawock, Craig, Cake, Angoon, Pelican, Hoona, Port Alexander, Kassan, Heidelberg, and Metlakatla. Those communities would share a Senate district. House District 3 would include downtown Juneau, Douglas, the south part of Juneau's Mendenhall Valley, Petersburg, Tenneke, Gustavus, and Excursion Inlet. House District 4 would have the northern part of Juneau's Mendenhall Valley, Auk Bay, and neighborhoods to the north, plus Skagway. Those two House districts would share a Senate seat. Southeast would lose one House seat and half a Senate seat under the plan due to population changes. Earlier versions put two House seats in Senate districts, including communities to the north and west. Alaska's cruise season is well underway. Ships small and large are plying the waters of Southeast's Inside Passage, Prince William Sound, and parts of the Gulf. They bring close to 900,000 passengers, many of whom continue on to tours in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and communities to the west and north. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld took a look at the season's prospects. He starts out in Petersburg.
Good, nice to see you again. Welcome back.
The vessel Seabird pulls up at one of the South Harbor docks. There's little fanfare as the small blue and white cruise ship ties up and begins to unload. Passengers from the National Geographic-sponsored tour take a few steps down to the dock, most carrying cameras.
I'm Karen Hill.
And Bill, her husband.
And where are you folks from?
Outside of Philadelphia.
And tell me, what are you looking forward to doing in Petersburg?
Oh, I'm looking to see what the local culture is like. I'm going to take a bike ride, so I'm going to go down the coast. I'd also like to see the dockside, the fisheries and the boats coming in.
And how about you?
Well, it's a pretty town. I'd probably walk along the shore and try and get the older buildings, but I'll probably explore middle of the town as well.
The Seabird and its sister ship, the Sea Lion, can hold up to 62 guests each. And while small, they play an important role in the tourism economies of the towns they visit. But their overall impact is dwarfed by the large ships, which can carry as many as 2,600 passengers per cruise.
We're going to see a year that looked very much like last year in terms of total volume.
Lorraine Palmer runs Juneau's Convention and Visitors Bureau. The capital city gets port calls from almost all the ships visiting Southeast Alaska. Her latest estimate is 860,000 to 870,000 passengers this year. That's down from a high last decade of about 1 million. But John Binkley of the Alaska Cruise Association says it's still good news.
Last year, of course, we saw a pretty precipitous drop in the number of cruise ship passengers coming to Alaska. And looking ahead to 2012, we're hopeful that we'll see an increase there. There have been some announcements by different cruise lines that give us optimism that we'll see an increase.
The most talked about addition this year is the Disney cruise ship Wonder. Next year, Princess Cruises will add another vessel, and insiders say there may be more. But passenger numbers are just one measure. Prices are another. Binkley says fares are firming back up for the Alaska market.
When you see the prices start to rise, the cruise lines are going to be getting a better return on their investment.
Early season travelers on the large ships could still find cheap berths this year for a few hundred dollars. But for most of the summer, many prices will range from $1,200 to $4,000 per person, depending on ship, duration, and amenities. smaller lines' prices are higher. Guests pay as much as $10,000 for National Geographic's cruises, such as the one docked in Petersburg. Palmer says those passengers also spend more where they board and depart, as they book hotels and take the time to explore.
That really does add another element, because the larger ships, you know, just do port calls and they do not do overnighting.
Small ship destinations are taking a hit this year after Cruise West, a major longtime player in the market, shut down. A Sitka tour company, Allen Marine, and other small lines are trying to fill that void.
No, but the bike should be up there. You see them all the way over by the stop sign there.
Back on Petersburg's dock, Karen and Bill Hill say they've been enjoying Alaska's wildlife.
Sea lions, bears, mountain goats, humpback whales, orca whales.
In terms of the overall experience, how have you liked Southeast Alaska?
Fantastic. It's been great.
And they'll enjoy some more. Part of the Petersburg experience is an onboard Dungeness crab feast. This is Ed Schoenfeld.
Keller Williams is coming to Haines.
In Haines, yeah, it's definitely been way too long.
You know, Keller, the one-man jam band, toured with Yonder Mountain String Band, was in the Rhythm Devils. The guy who does the radio show, Keller Seller, he's been to Haines before, but not in quite a few years.
Yeah, I don't have as much time as I'd like to hang out in Haines. The past year and a half or so, I've taken on the weekend warrior role and gone out and played, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sometimes just Friday and Saturday. But this time, you know, I'm definitely going to be gone a little bit longer than that, and so there's not as much time as I'd like to hang out in Haines. But I'm going to make the best of it, that's for sure.
He's played Anchorage, Denali, and Fairbanks before, but missed the Northern Lynn Canal on his last Alaska tour. This time, he's returning to Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Healy, but says he wanted to make sure Haines was definitely on the list of tour dates.
I think there's been a couple, at least one trip we were trying to make to Haines that didn't happen. And there was other times we were trying to come up there, not just to play, but to hang out as well. I just remember the last time I was there, people came out of the woodworks, and it was a really positive experience, and I'm excited to get back and play Haines again for sure.
At Monday's show at the Chilkat Center for the Arts in Haines, Williams is playing alone, but he's toured with Umphrey's McGee, Rat Dog, and the String Cheese Incident, and recorded with Charlie Hunter, Victor Wooten, and Bella Fleck. It's somewhat because the self-taught musician is widely known for his live performances, where he does what's called live phrase looping, where he uses a foot pedal to take samples of his live show and layers more music on top of it, making a truly unique and pretty mind-blowing sound for a solo show. They can weave in almost any genre of music, from folk,
what do y'all feel like doing today?
Bluegrass, electronic, rock, funk, reggae. Plus, he really likes playing for an audience.
Well, it's very self-indulgent, you know. It's what I love to do. And I think the live performance for me is kind of about the give and take of energy, you know, between me and the audience. It sounds kind of weird, but you know, it's a bit of a circular energy type of thing that is my favorite aspect of it. You know, there's this automatic adrenaline for me to be up there doing what I love doing in front of people that are paid to come see it. You know, and then that energy gets, you know, sent back to me, and then vice versa. It just kind of goes around and around, and there's a certain element that in no other aspect of my life that, you know, I can only get on stage.
But you just have to take a look at ticket sales to know that people want to see him play. 300 tickets went on sale in the Upper Lynn Canal, most of them in Haines, 60 in Skagway, and they're nearly sold out, if not already. The tickets are or were available at the Babbling Book in Haines. They will not be available at the door. Tickets are $18 or $50 for a family. Doors open at 6:45 on Monday. Showtime is at 7:30 p.m. He's already here playing Anchorage Thursday night, Healy on Friday, Fairbanks on Saturday, and Haines Chilcott Center for the Arts on Monday before leaving for Delaware. His 18 albums introduced him to the world of music fans, who now know him by nickname or under one of his various band names, K-Dub, WMDs, Keller McGee, Keller and the Keels, K-Doubleicious.
Well, my most recent record is a kids record, and I will not be playing any of those songs in Haines. Those songs are reserved for, you know, special matinee types of kids shows.
His weekly show, Keller's Cellar, airs on KHNS every Friday night before midnight. And if timing and travel works, he'll be joining his old friend and Haines resident, Scott Ramsey, on air at KHNS Studios during Flashbacks and Fresh Tracks on the afternoon of Monday, June 6th. Keller Williams plays the Chilcott Center for the Arts in Haines on Monday night. Doors open at 6:45. Show starts at 7:30. Tickets won't be available at the door. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.